Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this edition of Bullring Breakdown. Please like us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook at Woodhull Raceway, Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. This week, driver interview on a Wednesday. So we are joined here this week by Southern Tier. Nope. Sorry, Joe. You know, that's the first time I did that all year, so I don't really feel too bad. But Joe Wilcox, Performance Automatic Street Stock driver. Luke Boom. Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Joe?
I'm awesome. I'm awesome. Well, I kind of wanted to start this thing off, but I saw the video you put on Facebook, and I gotta say, I guess Teddy got one over on us.
Yeah, I guess I'll say the track missed a call on that one.
Yep. I think
Fortunate enough. Yeah, fortunate. The whole class of drivers is pretty heads up and were able to miss me, where that could have been a pretty catastrophic deal, and I was able to just restart tail and push forward.
Yeah, for sure. Now I will say this, 'cause I kind of say this to everybody. One week you're going to be the bug, and the next week you're going to be the windshield. And I think you
Yep.
talked to Terry Pierce too. I don't know about this, but he'll tell you right up that he's not going to be perfect.
Oh yeah. It never happens. We all try to do the best we can, but shit happens and we're in the moment. It's hard to know what other people are gonna do. We don't have rearview mirrors, stuff happens. Like, it just I don't know. It was lap two. That was probably a little early to be that aggressive, in my opinion. But it's whatever.
So what's
I'm gonna have a good time and run my race. And I was able to load my car back on the trailer at the end of the night in one piece with a top five finish, and I'm happy with that.
Right. Now, what kind of goes through your head as a driver when you spin around? Because I think you're running what, fourth or fifth, I believe.
It's third there,
Third. So you had just about the whole
above.
field right behind you. What goes through your head other than the initial, well, you've got to be kidding me, but like maybe a little bit of fear with everybody bearing right down on you?
Oh, for sure. Like it comes through your head that there's 10, 11 more guys charging that corner.
Right. Especially the way that you went, you're running third and it went right to your drivers. You kind of went right to the right where you really don't want to go, you know?
Yeah.
So I gotta mention this. Now a real heartbreaking post on Facebook about a month ago when we were really starting to open up our season. So I gotta ask you, how's the house?
So I'm tearing the house down, total loss, and bought a big fifth wheel camper I'm living in for the summer. I work on the road. I'm in a hotel most of the week anyway, for work. So I'm spending two nights a week in a camper. That's all I would spend in my normal little house trailer anyway. So one thing with that is like the property that I own with my dad here. There's a big house on the property and a little trailer, and I live in the little trailer because I'm only home on the weekends. They live in the big house and they're there all the time. So as unfortunate as that is, there's still a big house here that did not get hit. So like it could have been way worse. Like it there's no good thing about it, but it could have been way worse. And I wasn't home, I was at work, and the
And
dog
the dog wasn't in the house, right?
was outside because I was gone. So he's, otherwise him and I'd be chilling right there in the living room.
Well, you know how it usually goes. Nobody cares about the people as long as the dogs are okay.
Right. I'm good with that.
What's that?
I'm good with that.
Yeah, just I mean I don't know if I've ever really saw anything that I pulled on Facebook and I said, wow, I don't know if I've ever seen anything that heartbreaking. I mean, what it looked like a tree just came down and just split it right in half.
Yeah, so just a very large pine tree. split off in the windstorm. We've been having a lot of wild weather lately, and it wasn't even the whole tree tipped over. It was like a big branch off of a monster pine tree, and it like landed in the living room and then just went right out the far wall. Incredible the
Yeah,
damage it did.
so where you work, where you were out on, out for work when that happened, did somebody send you a message or did you just get home and see it?
No, my dad sent me a message. He's like, "Oh, a tree just hit the house," and like I've had some branches hit it before, dent the porch roof or something. Like, yeah, it was. And then when I come home, mind blowing, like just mind blowing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, like I said, probably one of the most heartbreaking things I've seen. So, I kind of wanted to ask you, and I've been asking a lot of these street stock guys. So, this year, we kind of I think we opened up the rules. I'm not really sure. So, about the headers and the aluminum brake calipers. Now, what's your thought on that? I think I saw that you were one of the ones behind it. Is that true, or am I making stuff up?
No, I'm with that. There's really no I guess there is an advantage with aluminum caliper because it's lighter. And we as racers know the lighter you can make all your suspension pieces, the better it lets all your shocks and springs work, etc. Although with that you lose durability, I feel. I don't know. The modern brake calipers are they're a good piece. The
Are
late
you
model,
running them?
I do have aluminum calipers on my car.
Hey, it's legal. You don't have to act like you're hiding nothing.
Yeah. And the late model header, I think that's insignificant. That's a preference deal. Personally, I like the crossover headers. They're not down underneath the car or out the side of the car to get damaged.
Is that
I
the new
run
one or
the
the old one?
so the original rule is the crossover headers,
Okay.
and I've been running the same headers and tailpipes for 3 years, and they're still in like new shape. They just don't get damaged. So I don't
Because the
have
new ones
anything.
come out of like the side, right? Is that.
Yeah, so you're limited on space. If you ever get hit in the side, like you could damage exhaust. Ground clearance is an issue with the other style headers. I haven't seen any dyno numbers, so I don't have any real science to say that they're any better or not. But I see no significant gain on them.
Well, I think that's what pretty much everybody said is that they, well, usually if you want to rule past, everyone says that there's no significance to it,
Yeah, and I think it's more to allow the other tracks competitors to come race with us,
Right.
and then to match us along with the other guys.
Well, my thought too was because I think I saw on Facebook that you're planning on running the Empire Street Stock Series, so. My thought too is that if you want to do that, it's kind of a pain to change out your brake calipers for Woodhull and then on what they usually run during the week, I think. So then on a Wednesday or this Friday, you're going to where is it? Ransomville? You're going up to
Ransom.
Ransomville. So then you got to change out your calipers, and then if you're going to race Woodhull for points, you got to turn around and change them.
Yeah, and at that point, it's I don't feel that that's worth all the extra work there.
Right.
For the tiny little performance gain that you'll get from an aluminum caliper, you won't even notice that driving it or feeling it. Like it's a minor effect, you know, that I don't think you would feel as a driver.
Right.
They
Well,
may differently. I don't know. I don't know. My brakes were giving me some issues this week, but I got them
really,
dialed in.
what are the what's that?
So I used to run different size master cylinders, and I put two of the same size master cylinders in it this year, and it just threw my brake balance off a little bit. So I struggled a little bit in the heat race with that, and then I finally got it dialed in better for the future where they were actually working and slowing the car down and not just pitching it in there on me.
Right. Well, it did seem like you were going pretty well. I know it probably frustrates you a little bit More talking about how great you looked in the feature, but it's I think it was actually your first night out, so really it's
It
something to
was
build
my
on,
first time driving the car this year, so I like I said, I come home with fifth, and I'm pretty happy with that for an opening night shakedown.
Right. And I'll tell you one thing, after watching Saturday, I don't want to be mean to any class or any drivers here, but after watching Saturday, bringing it home in one piece and not having a bunch of work to do, this week's a win.
Yeah, I just got the one quarter panel to hammer the dent out of, and
The
go
left
through
one.
it, nut and bolt it, and grease it. And I've already changed the gears out for Ransomville. I'm ready. I'm gonna put it on the scales tomorrow night and do a little tweaking on it and load her up, take her up to Ransomville on Friday.
So is that like a big change when you gotta go to when you're gonna go to Ransomville?
So I've never been there. This is
Okay.
it's just gonna be for the fun of traveling and a new track and trying to go just be competitive with a random group of guys.
Right. When I went up there as a fan, it's hard. So keep that in mind. I don't know if it still is or not, but it was hard and there were some tires going away, but I think that was a modified, probably a 50-100 lap feature. So that's probably, can be a little different for you guys.
Yeah, with the track prep at Woodhull last week was surprisingly good. I was expecting a way wetter and heavier track, but super smooth. We did have a little dust, but it's I prefer that over a rough hammer down track any
Right.
day. Like
Well, you said you didn't listen, but Terry Pierce was on here and he talked about it, and he said that you kind of they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because with all the rain that we got all week, you didn't know if you should put water down on the racetrack because you didn't know if all the moisture would come back up out of it, and then you'd overwater it, and we'd be sitting there till 9 o'clock trying to dry the track out, or if you don't touch it, and then it's kind of dusty like it was. Like it was.
Yeah,
So.
it was a little bit of a curveball, and it was I'm good with it though. I would way rather run a smooth little dusty track than a rutted out wide
Right.
open hand kind of track.
Right. And it might have been different for you guys, when you were racing, but I didn't think, from up in the booth, I didn't think it was too dusty for the features.
No, features was good. It and that b mainly has to do with the sun still being up during the heats. But yeah, it was difficult to see in the heat.
Yeah, and I think nobody wanted to see the water track truck go out on the racetrack, but I think that needed it.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. Like I,
I'm not
very
convinced that that
impressed.
track wouldn't have been full of ruts if they didn't put water on it. So, with the way the night was going and how late it was getting, nobody really wanted to see it, but I think it was kind of a necessary evil.
Yeah, it was it was definitely a late night, but that you're gonna have that when you're packing a couple special shows in on the same night. Neither one of those classes are regular. The great turnout with the sprint cars,
Yeah, there's.
opening the racing. That they did great for real. Like there's did they flip any of them?
Not tonight. No, they didn't.
I didn't get to watch every lap of them, but I don't remember them flipping one car Saturday. So hats off to the sprint car guys.
Yeah, they did good, and really they were I told Terry this too. I said I don't mean to really knock any of the other classes, because I think what all of you guys do is pretty impressive, but I said they were probably the greenest of the features. Kind of seemed like a lot of the other ones had some yellow fever, and the sprint cars did excellent. So, so you said you've never been to Ransomville. So did you just change gears? Is that really all you guys can do to these things? Because that's quite a bit difference going from Ransomville to Woodhull. With I think that's a big track, and it's flatter.
Yeah, it's quite a bit flatter, and definitely larger. So I've picked a couple brains of some fellow competitors, and I've got a nice ballpark of where to show up with on a gear number, and As far as setup, I'm just kind of taking what I got and we'll unload her and see how she goes. Like, it's I've been to Outlaw a few times. I've been up to Canandaigua a few times. So I've been to a couple of the other tracks. I don't have nearly the seat time that a lot of these guys have. I didn't start racing until I was in my mid-30s. Like, a lot of these, even the kids out there have more laps than I do. Like, so it's
Just how many years have you been racing?
So 2020 was my rookie year. COVID year was my rookie year,
So this would be your
and
fifth year.
this will be my 5th year. And the COVID year was like a really half season. Like,
Yeah, I remember trying to weasel my way in up there, and it was that's kind of a I don't know. We me and my dad had to find somebody's pit crew to be on for a while, you know. That wasn't very much fun for anybody.
No, I'm glad we've gotten through that, and it's yeah.
And one thing I did want to touch on you is I wanted to touch on well, I think your only feature win. So those that don't know, Luke, you picked up the win on fireworks night of 2022, and that was the night that Art Goodyear passed away. So I wonder kind of what goes through your head when you win the feature on that night, but kind of looking back, maybe it's not one that you want to be that fond of, you know?
So it's a night I think of often. It's a highlight of my racing career so far is to win a feature. Like, there's guys that have raced for 20 years and they've never won a feature, and I was able to in my 2nd year. There's other guys that come out and they win their second race. We got a pretty tough field, so to be able to win one of them at any time is cool. That year they were doing victory lanes out back, but because it was fireworks night, they were doing them on the front stretch. So that was pretty cool to be able to do the victory lane in front of the packed fireworks crowd. But I don't ever think of that night that I won my race without thinking of Art. Art was a family friend. Like, I'd known him since I was just a little toddler. So it like he was more than just a fellow racer at the track. Like, I've known Art for nearly my entire life. So at intermission that night, I duct taped a 1G on my roof, and then a few races later, I won my feature. Every year on that night, I've put a 1G on my car on the roof that night. And I think I'll continue to do that for every fireworks show that I do.
Now do you prefer, I think I probably know the answer to this, but do you prefer victory lane down on the racetrack?
Yes.
Yeah. I always said that I know that it probably takes a little bit extra time, but I think that it's nice for it's quiet so everybody can hear your sponsors, and I can't promise you how many fans are listening to victory lane interviews, but you know what? At least it's the thought, you know?
The whole crowd's there. Everyone can see you. People that want to can. It's cool for the crew and stuff to be able to step foot on the track, much like autograph night or something. Like, a lot of people have never even felt the clay track. Like, it's unique. It's not like walking through a parking lot or something.
Right. Well, that's the thing about Woodhull is it's kind of deceptive. You don't really know how banked those corners are until you actually get down on the racetrack. 'Cause I never thought that they were that banked until I walked down there on an autograph night. I remember I walked down there 'cause I was friends with Aaron Miller and Austin Allen, and I walked down there just to talk to him 'cause I didn't have any real interest in ever getting autographs or anything. But and I'm looking down, and I'm going, holy cow, look at these things are steep. So
Super steep.
that's one of the things that I do like is how when people look at it and they're like, wow, look at how steep they are. 'Cause it's kind of deceptive when you're sitting in the grandstands. They don't look quite as steep as they really are.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you know if there's an actual measurement or a stat for the banking that they consider that to be. I can tell you as a racer and being on the track that it varies. It's not the same in every line. But it's I'd be curious if they had an idea if they like they call it, you know, 20 degrees or something. Like it's steep for
It
sure.
is. It is. And
If it's
it's
wet, you cannot stand on it. You will just slide to the ditch.
well, and you've watched, it's really funny when it rains. Well, it's never funny when it rains, but when, then usually you see John Stewart trying to go over there and check it out, and he'll be slipping and sliding right down the, bank. So
Yeah,
I think at least the fans get a kick out of that.
oh yeah, and the
Or,
plane gets
or the
slippery.
Packer trucks, I've seen them pack or them skid right down into the bottom of the corner.
Oh yeah, you're just along for the ride,
And I'm
and
sure
then
that drives Terry Brewer absolutely nuts every time that happens.
just riding around in the ditch.
Right, because I can't imagine it's good for the track to have them go.
No, and yeah. Like the pack trucks really dictate a lot on how the lines are going to work out for the night. If they put ruts in it and or anything, like they can get that stuff smoothed out with a pack of trucks if they run them right, or they could mess it up. But they do a pretty good job at Woodhull. They've been getting better about it being ready when we hit it with lap for hot laps.
Yeah, I think we started on time both times this year, which is, and I'm gonna say this not just because I work for the track, but it's not just Woodhall. It's everywhere.
Oh, everything's everywhere. Mother Nature's been
Well,
helping
I
us with
just
that.
meant with starting on time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is about, because I run the demolition derbies, and it doesn't seem to matter if I go to a racetrack to watch or if I go to run a demolition derby. They always start late, and I don't know why, but nobody ever seems to be on time. So I actually think we've been doing pretty good. I think we're 2 for 2 this year. So what's kind of your plans for this season? I know you're running the Empire Street Stocks, but what do you? I know you said you travel a lot for work. Does that take away some Saturday commitments, or?
Yeah, it does. So with losing my house there and everything, I'm gonna be rebuilding that, or not rebuilding that, but building something new. And so that's gonna require some of my time and my money, which the race car is pretty stingy about. So I'm gonna have to take a little bit of time and money from the race car and put it towards myself. I will be around on Saturdays, but it probably won't be every Saturday.
Sure.
So, and that is what it is. I'm gonna just kind of play it weather permitting, how the week's going, just how things fall. I don't It's hard saying. I'd like to commit. I've already missed the opening night. I'm behind in all that stuff.
Well, I can't imagine it's like I imagine it's got to be pretty hard, because you're not like I had Austin Allen and Kyle Leach on, and they said they get out of work and they go to the shop and everything. But if you're working out of town, you don't really have that luxury. So you're doing all your work, whenever you're home, whenever that is.
Yeah, so I get 3 day weekends. I work 4 times. So I got Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. So I got another I usually keep myself busy working on Friday, side work or for a friend, whatever. And then Saturday race, Sunday wash, repair,
So you're
do my lawn.
doing, so you do everything, for Sunday and Friday. That's the only days you can work on the race car. Wow. So is all Sunday just spent in the shop then?
Yeah, Sunday is wash day, and then so it's wash, repair, prep, as much as I can get done, so that come Friday, it's just final like setup and sizing tires, and then it always happens that it's a Saturday morning wake up, get your morning started, throw the battery charger on the car and button it up. It's a very time consuming
Yeah.
hobby, as you know. And it's been hard since I've taken this job working on the road, because I'm not able to be home in the shop every night. I'm also a small team. I don't show up with 10 guys on my crew. A lot of times it could be just me.
Who does that one kid come with you every week? I'm blanking on his name. Caleb, is it?
Oh, I have a couple buddies that help. Caleb Root is one.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
He's been helping out Joey Gardena as well. So he and like which is great. I didn't do much of a race schedule last year, and so Caleb got hooked up with Joey, and they've been doing a good deal. He's around. I got buddy Jake. My brother comes all the time. My dad's always there. He doesn't get around as good as he used to, but he's still a good helping hand.
What do you think of the nickname Boomer? Do you like the nickname Boomer?
Yeah, I've grown up with that. I'll answer to that.
I was gonna say, because I think that's what I've called you since the week after you won your feature.
I'll answer that, and then that's my name.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just always thought it fit well, and it made it, I don't know. Kind of nicknames are fun at the racetrack, but I never want to be too aggressive about them,
No, that's more a name than anything. I'd answer that as quick as I will, Luke.
Right. So your number 00, is that just the z is that the O's?
Yeah,
And
I didn't have like a high school sports number. My dad didn't race. Like he didn't have a number. I had some random numbers when I raced motocross and stuff. Like nothing ever meant anything to me. And then I saw an IMCA modified out in the Midwest. I had used the double zero out of his name, and I was like, oh, that works perfect. And so it's always been on my car, but I did it really subtle to begin with, where it's a lot more obvious now. But on my first couple years of my car, the B and the M were done in reflective. Like I had black car and it was done in black reflective. So you wouldn't see it unless it was in a picture with flash, or
Right.
if the light just right, it would say boom. So for a few years, very few people even knew that it said boom the whole time.
Right. Well, now it is really obvious. I think it's white with red letters. So
It says boom right on it now.
yeah.
I've
So
gotten it reflective for the photographers to appease the photographers. Like I know they hate that stuff.
right.
Getting a lot of good pictures.
You so you said your dad never raced, so how'd you get hooked onto it?
So I lived with I was roommates with Corey Costa for years, and we used to ride dirt bikes and everything together. And when he started racing, him and I took one of his dad's old cars out of the weeds and tried putting that together. And then he ended up getting a different chassis that him and I built a car out of. And then we took it to the track and he started winning with it. And I was like, man, this is the greatest thing ever. And so his stint in the street stock was pretty short. He moved up to the modified and to the crate car for a year and then straight into the big mods. And my love has always been the full fender cars, like for basically the fact that, like me and a buddy built one in the garage and then he took it out there and was winning races with it. And I was like that, like I was hooked. And then, so I was big time helping him out, crew chiefing, and picked up a chassis, an old chassis from Jared Hill, and pieced that thing together. One piece at a time was on the spoiler of my original car because it took me a couple years to put that thing together. And I've been at her since 2020.
So you You've never had any real interest in going open wheel like Corey did?
I can't swing that kind of program.
Sure.
The just the wheel and tire package, the wheel and tire expense of the modifieds, regardless if you go sportsman,
I
open
think
mod,
they're about 285 a tire.
right,
I mean,
and a
that's.
$300 wheel. You're like 500 a corner. That's 2,000 a set. None of the tires are the same. It's a different tire for every corner. So you got to have spares. So now you're at 4 grand just to have spares. Another $1,000 for different compounds, softs, mediums, hards. Like you could show up with 6, 8, 10 grand in tires and wheels in your trailer before you bought a nut or bolt for your race car.
Right. And so you've never have you ever driven one?
Yeah, I got the hot lap Costa's Sportsman and his big mod with two different open motors in that thing. So it's
What
they are fun. Like,
you just you didn't spin out, did you?
no, I did not.
No, because
I
I was gonna say if you're good friends with Corey, he might never let you live that down.
oh, for sure.
Do you
No.
talk to him a lot now,
Yeah,
Corey?
we still talk.
So what's he up
Not as
to?
much. We haven't lived together in years now, but he's just doing his own thing. He's building the street truck, doing some like some it's like a turbo truck build drag racing type deal.
Kind of like the farm truck on Street Outlaws. So he's kind of out of racing then for the minute.
For right now, I don't see him showing up to the track.
Yeah. Well, I know that he spent all winter working on that modified last year and then pretty much totaled it the first night out of something that wasn't even his fault. And that's
Then put it back together and wiped it out again.
Yeah, same thing happened. So I
Same thing happened. So,
and
we're.
they're it's that's the worst thing, and I feel so bad. I was talking to Kyle Leach today, and I said, you know, the worst thing in the world's a tore up race car. I go, 'cause you I and I said, you know, none of you guys are millionaires to my knowledge. And I go,
No.
you guys got to put all the work in and pay to fix all that stuff, and it looks like no fun.
No, but the thrill you get when you get to just stand on that throttle wide open and send it down in the corner, side by side with someone, like there's no thrill quite like that. It's truly addicting.
Yeah, Kyle Leach told me that he's gonna let me he's gonna put his big seat in and I can hot lap it after the races one night.
That's awesome.
I said, because I told him as a joke, and I said, you know, I don't actually want to do it. I don't want now he's kind of talked me into it. I said my biggest fear is I'm gonna hit the wall or break or blow a transmission, which apparently according to him it's pretty hard to blow a transmission.
Yeah.
But
No, and you only have to go as fast as
right.
might do. Like they don't go faster than you want them to. Like you're in control of them. It's not like you're just riding a
Right.
rocket ship hoping that it goes somewhere. Like,
Sure. So I got a street stock guy with me. I gotta ask you, do you like the 100 laps?
I love the 100-lap race.
Okay, because I know that Outlaw they switched theirs down to 50, and I've always said that that Woodhull should change theirs to 50. But then the more and more I talk to you guys, the more you're like, no, we like it 100. Is it just
Yeah,
the long distance
definitely like
or?
the 100. Yeah, it and it's time. I don't know. Like, so spend all, don't know what the word for it is, but I put 20 hours of work into my car a week to drive it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Like I literally on a Saturday night, if I spend 20 minutes driving my car, that includes caution laps, my heat race, my feature, like, so you put thousands of dollars and hours of your time for 20 minutes of fun on a Saturday night.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I do. I always wondered if you knocked it down to 50, if, but pe I
So
people love it. I don't know.
I love it being 100. It's so I run both the Woodhull 100 and the Outlaw 50 last year. 50 at Outlaw is probably about the same as 100 at Woodhull.
I was gonna say it probably really isn't that. That race used to be 100 laps. Now I that's you've got to be, because I've seen a lot of street stock races over there. You've kind of got to be up on the wheel for 100. That's got to work you out.
Oh, it's a workout.
You
I
know.
worked out in the Woodhull race this year and had no power steering and a broken front end, but it was
Yeah, you had no power steering for 100 laps.
For about 90 of them, I didn't.
So how's that? You just m try to muscle it around?
You're not nearly as quick on your maneuvering, your correcting. So you got to be maybe a little. It makes me a little bit slower. Like I
Mm-hmm.
can't be as quick to counter steer or to turn into the corner. So I got to kind of do all that stuff. I got to enter a little earlier so that it'll actually happen.
Right. How'd your forearms feel the next day?
I couldn't feel them.
Mm-hmm.
They were solid. The gloves I wore for the 100, I wore right bare in the thumb grip.
For your gloves?
Threw my gloves from that race.
Wow. But hey, it was all fun, right? And you had more than 20 minutes of seat time.
I got to drive that thing for over a half hour, wide open. I don't know. The more time you get to spend in your race car, the better. And I don't know. A lot can happen in 100 laps.
Well, that and it's all fun. So, you know, none of you guys are doing it for a living. You're all doing it to have fun. And, you know, 100 laps has got to be pretty fun.
It is, and then they give out so much lap money throughout it. So you get, the longer you can keep racing and staying in the top 10 or top 7. I believe I heard that we may be ch bumping that up to pay through the top 10, which would be cool.
I don't know. I know Joe Wilcox has some stuff that he's
Still early,
concocted. And he's already collecting a bunch of money. I mean,
which
he's,
is awesome.
yeah, it is. And it's that's you guys don't get very many races that are, you know, I know Outlaw pays well, but I think that's most of the time that's still only 2 grand to win, you know, and you guys don't get those races that really pay top dollar. Really, I don't know if anybody around here does besides modifieds. And even that probably isn't worth it for what you're paying.
Yeah, it's tough because you put so much more into those bigger classes, and they don't pay a whole lot more. The street stock pay is it's bumped up a little bit, but it's still small.
Right.
But like you said, we're doing it for the fun, for the sport, for the love of the hobby.
Right. You do it more for the trophies than the
We're
check.
not doing this for a job. Right. Like none of us are doing this for a job. Like
Right.
we work a job so we can do this. Like
Right.
it's a
Yeah,
different level,
have you ever thought about kind of moving down? If 'cause you know the street stocks are getting quite expensive to run. Have you ever thought about maybe like a hobby stock, or is it just the traveling with the street stock just keeps you where you just that's what you want to stay in?
So when I decided I wanted to get into racing, I wanted to just do a full size V8 car, and then the hobby stock class wasn't even a thing. So it was a street stock or a late model, and I decided not to just dive into a late model.
And
That's
I think at that time they were 360s too, so that was actually a little bit bigger than, you know, I think.
That was right about the time they were coming back to be a 604.
Okay.
The BMW were just getting phased out. Or had been. Yeah.
Right. So you just think that's where you're gonna be then? That's what if somebody ever came to you and offered you a ride? Would you take it in a heartbeat?
Oh I would drive any car, and I would bring something to the program.
That's about
We'd make it happen. We'd make it better than just a one person deal.
right. That's about what everybody says, that if somebody came with me, we'd make it work.
And I've thought of hobby stock racing. Like that thing looks, they look like a lot of fun, but they're spending the same money that I am.
Oh, really?
Like it, their cars are not any cheaper than mine.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have a super expensive car either, so I guess that might be part of it.
Sure.
I don't know. I haven't driven one. I don't know. I guess I got to start hitting people up for some test drives and
I think you could find some people over at the track that might let you hot lap it.
yeah, I'd like to try both the hobby stock, and I've looked at the late models probably more than the sportsman.
Yeah, you're a full fender guy through and through.
Yeah, I like them.
All right, Luke. Well, I think we're about ready to wind down here. You got anything else that you wanna, I guess that you wanna mention here?
Well, no, I just thanks for giving me the time coming on the podcast here with you and chatting some racing.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for joining me. I've kind of been lucky because I've been messaging people at Wednesday mornings, and then by Wednesday nights, I seem to be able to get. They always say yes. I haven't had anybody ever say no to me yet, so I've kind of
Cool.
been lucky. I might have to start doing some scheduling.
Yeah. No, this is cool. And I'll make it a point to go back through and listen to some of your
Well,
other shows.
I appreciate that.
I'm sure there'd be some good content in there.
Yeah, there's some things that I never thought I'd, one of them, Kyle Leach has never ran a brand new tire. Ryan Tracy builds his own motors. There's some things that you pick up that that you might not really think about. So
Okay.
that's I really enjoy doing it, and I appreciate you drivers giving me the
Yeah,
time of day.
I don't have much there. I just a motorhead for life, and had a good buddy that got into racing, and I was like, man, I'm at the track every weekend. Like, I just need a car too, and then I can race,
Right.
and then I'm in the rabbit hole.
Never seems
So
to get out of it, huh?
yeah, it's cool, like the street stock class is stacked. Like we're
Yeah, and
racing against
I think for the
random.
most part, I know Saturday you might have disagreed with me when you were pulling out of the track, but I think you got a pretty good group of guys to work to r race with.
Yeah. I do totally agree with you. The street stock class is a tight class, both personally and in our cars and lap times. Like we're all right there. And then, but if anyone needs anything, they can come over and ask anyone else if they have it. Like,
And that and you said you've only been racing for 5 years, and there's a lot of guys with experience over there.
yeah,
You
for
know,
sure.
I know you probably didn't want to talk to him on Saturday, but Teddy Morseman's got a lot of experience in a street stock over there, and Mick Seeley the same way.
The same, Glenn Reitenauer,
Yep, Glenn too. Which how do you feel when Brian Butler gives up his ride to let Glenn? Does that kind of peeve you a little bit? Because he seems to really be the class over there.
not really. I think it's great that Glenn can hop in anything and wheel it. I was actually talking with Clayton about our run. Like, I had a really good time running with Clayton this week. I was a little faster than he was, but I couldn't make the move on him. So I was trying some different stuff to gain on him, and then I let the 97 get in underneath me. But yeah, like I was talking with Clayton, and just We don't got nothing for on Glenn's right foot. He
Right.
has 300 feature wins, and I can't remember track championships, like 20 something track championships. Like, that's mind blowing and humbling at the same time. Like, you know,
Yeah.
like I haven't run 300 races, let alone win them.
Right. Yeah, he's probably a pretty good guy to get on here too, because I kind of like to know about how he got started, because I think he's been racing for so long. I don't know if anybody even knows.
Oh man, you could talk to Glenn for days on about racing. He
Yeah.
and he's pretty good about sharing his wealth of knowledge, and he's most often quite level-headed, and will give you a nice straight professional response to something too. So
How is it racing with Bradley? Because I know he's pretty young and he just moved up.
no, I have no problems with Bradley. Him and I have had some awesome races together too.
Yeah.
And he's a super nice kid. And he's doing well. Like I like racing with him. There's some
I always
anyone
thought
in
if I had a street, I always thought if I had a street stock, and when Bradley made that move from a hobby stock to a street stock, I would have shaken my head and just said, "Oh, damn, another Morseman to deal with." Because he's gonna win some races. Teddy's won a lot of races, and he's always a threat. And I think Bradley's gonna be the same way. So I think if I was a street stock driver, I would have been like, "Bradley, couldn't you have stayed, or Teddy, couldn't you just kept in a hobby stock?" Or, but I guess it's fun to have competition too. You know, it's probably not as fun to go out there and.
No, I'd rather race against 20 cars than 10. Like it, you know, I have fun racing. That's what I show up to do is racing, have fun, be competitive. I know there's guys that are outspending me and outworking me, but I'm showing up with what I got and I'm having a good time.
Well,
I'm a
that's what I
it's
always said too, is it's a Saturday night and you get to go race a car. So you know what? At the end of the day, it's still a better day than going to work or sitting around in the house and watching it rain.
For sure, which is all we've been able to do lately.
Yeah, it seems that way. All right, Luke. Well, I think it's we're gonna I guess we could wrap this up. You wanna just shout out some of your sponsors that you got on your car?
Yeah, we got a pretty short list there, but they're big help. We got Tom Daw and Nate Dunning from the Dunning Auto Parts at the Napa. They've been supporters of mine since I started, and they're a huge help. I got my brother on there, Gavitt's Resin Art and Woodworking. They do a lot of custom, like laser etching on any wood, and like custom poured resin, crafty stuff. I don't know. And then we've got GP Wilson grading and excavating on there too, and he's come on board last couple years, and he's been a good help to me too. And then we got a Moose racing engine under the hood, and that's what we're showing up with.
Well, Luke, I really appreciate you making time to join me here on this Wednesday night, live from your hotel room. I appreciate it. I want to remind everybody to please like and subscribe to the YouTube page. Like us on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars, Spotify as well, Woodhull Raceway on Facebook, and Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. Luke, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good night.
You too.